Okay, so we are now going to start recording, and I want to introduce the writer of tonight's case, John Pila. John has worked as the CEO coach, a board member, and a board of advisor for the past 12 years. He's earned a dual undergraduate degree in business and economics from the University of New Hampshire. Then he stayed on and he got a master's in economics. John began his career at Exxon, and then he became director of corporate planning for a manufacturing company. That company spun out a troubled line of telephone-related products. John was made CEO of that company. John and his team helped that business prosper. It was later successfully sold. After that sale, John went on to become CEO for a number of product-oriented companies. In 2018, John founded and led the Association for Corporate Development. It's a networking and educational organization featuring CEOs sharing innovative approaches to value creation. John is currently on four corporate boards. I would say that I have known John for 10 years. We met at Provisors, which is a business-to-business networking group. I've been fortunate that John has gotten me involved in at least two family business situations where we were brought in to do CEO retained searches. I would have to say that if I was in a war zone and if I was in a foxhole and I had to pick anyone next to me, it would be John Ela. He's got a great ability to stay calm when everybody's going crazy. So John is a good person to have in a crazy situation. Sort of like what he outlined in the case. So, why don't we just go around the room before we ask John for his opinion and to see what people had to say. Let's start with room one, which is Craig, Jaylee, Julia, and Monica. Who's the spokesperson?
Suzanne.
Okay.
What will we do? I think our immediate reactions were that we may have to resign, but before we do that, we are going to try to bring the shareholders to their senses in this instance. We're very alarmed by the lack of proper governance. We believe there are multiple conflicts of interest going on here. We do have a duty of care, and we do have a fiduciary responsibility to the shareholders, Helen and Junior, but we also have responsibility for the well-being of the company, and we do not think that's being well served at all right now. We believe that particularly Junior is being obstructionist, cutting the CEO out of important decisions. We're being sort of bribed in our language or blackmailed. And that paper that we're being asked to sign is something we will not sign. And what we would be advocating for is that we need a real discussion, fact-based, including the CEO, about what the real issues are with the CEO, what the real issues are, fact-based with the marketing company. And we also are very concerned about the fact that Junior is part-time but wants to take on this big role. And there's really just so many conflicts of interest there that need to be teased out and hopefully resolved. We don't know what the bylaws say. So we don't know what the voting rights are here. We don't know whether we could, be voted out as the independent board members. We don't know if we could vote out the we believe not, but if we could vote out the shareholders. But again, it's a real morass that we need to work through. And we would be looking for red flags if we ever got involved with another family business again, that would include all those sorts of things that I just talked about, this culture, transparency, the role of the board, the role of the CEO, the role of the shareholders, et cetera. So that was our we talked about a lot of things, but that's I think that's our summary.
Thank you very much. The next room is Babs, Ingrid, Mary Ellen, and Susan.
Great, thank you. I was voluntold I'd be the lead. So for those that I've done it to before, it comes back around. So most of what Susan eloquently stated were a lot of the things that came up for us. There were some additional concerns that we had around the way that the whole situation with George was treated, and then the carryover that there was basically no lessons learned. There was still a matter of disorder, and the governance was very low in the way that they were displaying their actions as it relates to how they were running the board. We were worried that I think you said mentioned the word, Susan, about the bribe. We sensed that as well towards the end. That's how we perceived it. We were also noticing that the debt is held by the family, so there was just a little bit of, like, I won't say double dipping, but on the perception there could be some challenges there. There was the discussion around, initially it was like, hey, maybe we might leave, a board member could resign. But then I think after further discussion, we said that perhaps we would try to move as a unit, the independent board members, and leave altogether to try and drive more impact at the possibility of trying to get the actual owners to be more reasonable. I won't say yield, because they obviously have the full power. We really kept harking on the fact that from a reputation and fiduciary responsibility standpoint, we really felt that these owners weren't, they were letting either their ego, their power, or whatever it is, cloud their judgment. And because it seemed that this new CEO was doing a much better job in addressing a lot of the issues that they set before him. We had in the part where it talks about what would you do to avoid and to never kind of running this together again. Babs had a fantastic list. I tried to write as fast as she was talking. It was difficult, so I got some of them, but she said she would ask to see if they have an audit committee, ask if they what kind of professional nature board has, do they have bylaws, meeting minutes, current vendors that they re that could, I think, control how things are run or changes are done as far as contracts are concerned, income statements, financial findings, and then any pending litigation, she said. And even if they tell you they don't have any pending litigation, we had several people in our group who said, yes, I asked that. And then they still had pending litigation. So she had added on to that to say, potentially you go and look up in the public filings to see and verify that they do not have any litigation against that company. So that were some of the additional pieces that we had to what Susan had shared.
Good. Thank you very much. Next group is Kathy, Elaine, Jim, and Piper.
Okay. I got designated to talk about this. We spent very little time talking about what to do other than resign. Some of us, and particularly Elaine, had experience with these sorts of businesses before, and she said trying to broker the independent directors to make the family functional is life's too short to try to pursue that. So we basically concluded that while that's a possibility, we none of us were particularly excited about that, and we took the offer they made is ethically challenged. It really did feel like a bribe to us, and so that was an issue. And so we spent most of our time trying to figure out how to avoid situations like that. and the kinds of questions they ask. And the most important one that I think we ended up with that hasn't been highlighted in other discussions was to start by asking why the family wants independent directors. And in particular, Elaine, who's been in this situation a couple of times, look very closely at their body language when you ask that question, so that you understand whether whether they really want one or not. And other things we talked about is ask about succession planning, make sure you understand the voting rights and cliques within the family that are likely to be there. Who owns what stock, and if everybody's equal, doesn't necessarily mean they're equal because they're likely to be brother and sister against brother and sister, or mother against whatever, and so on. So make sure you try to understand those sorts of dynamics. Ask about D&O insurance and never join a board without it. And most of the other comments were in the list that the other groups had highlighted. So I'll just quit there unless anybody on the group thinks I missed anything.
Good. Thank you, Sharon.
I said when I read the case, I got PTSD, but that's another story.
Next group is Larry, John, Mindy, and Sandy.
Right. Okay. So I was picked by my group because I was the stranger in the group. So that was my qualification. But anyways, I think we all we were aligned with the Jim. We would resign. We wouldn't go much deeper than what we already saw. We saw stakeholders who were undermining management, undermining the board. We agreed there. We felt there was a bribe as to whatever, and there was substantial reputational risk to be associated with a company like this. That being the independent directors, should the company fail, and basically all of a sudden we're the independent directors on this company and it failed, and for whatever various reasons caused by the stakeholders, so we would simply resign, simply a simple resignation letter and walk away from it. We did focus on what we would do to avoid this happening again. Should we be approached by a company similar to Acme? And that led us just to talk about the type of due diligence that we would do on the next opportunity that got presented to us. Some of you had mentioned some of them. One is we would definitely want to meet with and interview the senior leadership team if there was a general counsel or a CFO and a CEO. And we would definitely want to interview the stakeholders. And Jim mentioned that as well, as we want to get a feeling of how they play well in the sandbox. And someone has indicated, raised up the checking for litigation, owning regulatory issues. We'd want to review the financial statements. Very important. If the company does have bylaws, we'd want to look at them. If they've had a board before, and there are committees, we'd want to look at what the charters that were granted to those committees and to the board, if they exist. And if they don't exist, that's something that we would need to discuss. Even a possibility, although it would be very rare, is if there were existing board members there, and we were additive to a board, all right, possibly we would conduct our due diligence if they needed us on the board right away, possibly even make it contingent for an interim period. But we would definitely do our due diligence before we would accept the position again.
Good. Thank you very much, John. The final group is Craig, Marianne, Susan, and Tim.
So I got the straw here,
Okay.
and we had an interesting conversation. And bottom line is two of our members said they would resign right away. And the other two said that they wanted to meet, which most of the other groups have already said that they would like to meet and try to resolve this situation, for the benefit of the total stakeholder group, including the shareholders, that just letting this deteriorate the way it is unfortunate. But if something is irreconcilable, clearly, then the other two, including me, said that we would resign and walk away. It's really sad to see a case like this because it does happen more often than not in family-owned business, I'm afraid, in many cases. So one thing that I don't want to repeat what everybody else has said, but everything that everybody else has said, we did talk about D&O insurance when it comes to the second question. Understand the role of the board. What is the role of the board? Get really clear expectations and definition of their role, the CEO, the shareholders, and the stakeholders. And one thing that wasn't mentioned before, I don't think, is the importance of the culture of the company and the culture of the board and how the board interacts with one another, with management, with the CEO. I think everything else, D&O insurance. That was what we talked about, rather than repeating everything else.
Well, John Ela, I'm now going to let.
Larry, before you move on, can I add one thing that our group talked about that hasn't come up? And that was basically a caution to prospective board members to not get consumed by the flattery of somebody wanting you when you get offered a position.
Amen. John Ela, thank you for your creative writing. How you ever came up with something like this, I'll never know. But tell us your reaction to what you're hearing.
Well, I think that with the information you had, all the groups came to the right conclusions of what should be done, a balancing of the desire to try and fix it and help the family versus fiduciary responsibility and potential liability. I started with this company at the request of their attorney because they were having the shareholders were having real conflict with the then CEO George, and their attorney felt that they needed to figure out where they were going with the company before they could resolve anything with that CEO. So I came in as a consultant to help them figure out where they wanted to go with the company, kind of what's the strategy, what are the challenges, how do we overcome them? What's this conflict that you're having with George? What's that all about? Very complicated because George had basically grown up with the family and was similar in age to the son, and there was almost a mother-son relationship between Helen and George. And he and also Junior were bullies, and they bullied mom, and so they played her off each other. So I had recommended they put an independent board in as a buffer between mom and all of this, so it wouldn't be on her. And so I considered my role was trying to protect mom as well as the company and teach them what good governance was. That didn't work well because they just kind of lopped everything in the board's lap and took no responsibility for anything. And that made the conflict shift from between them and George to the board and George. And I may have been the more patient of the board members in that whole process. We probably discussed governance at least every other board meeting based on the prior board meeting and places where good governance was avoided. And that didn't last very long. When it came down to the choice between the CEO and the board, I wasn't really sure where the family was going to go at that point. But they took us as the buffer and said, what do you think we should do? And the independents all said, let him go or accept his resignation, in effect. And they were very reluctant to do that because they had this belief that their industry was so unique that nobody else could come in and be CEO. And how would they ever find somebody? And we got them through that. And then I brought in somebody who I'm actually had put on another board that I chair, and brought him in as an interim CEO. He just happened to be at the right time, right place, and he could do that. And he made great progress, but he made changes, and they weren't comfortable with the changes, and that's why they got upset about the marketing firm that he hired that basically replaced a whole slew of junior people who didn't really know much about marketing at all. And we're having great success. We were getting some really good placement of the product with very good, well-known national, international performers. We had a letter from Stevie Wonder saying that this was the product he uses in his house for his own recording. They never did anything with it. They said it wasn't that nice. They had the rights to promote it. And so they had this history of thinking they were doing these things, but never following through. So they just kept getting more and more emotional. And Junior pressured mom to go with his side of you and just get rid of the CEO and I'll take over. They didn't want to get rid of the board because they still liked having us as cover, but not having us as really serving as a fiduciary board. And that didn't seem like a good place to be. So I had private conversations with Helen. I had conversations with her and Junior together. And Junior would just talk louder and louder and not base anything on facts, but how he felt about things. And I kept trying to turn them and see what damage they would do if they proceeded. And there was never a thought of firing the CEO and the marketing firm right then, because they were just about to have a major new generation of product launch. And all of the resellers were all lined up to have some pretty effective promotion being done using big name performers. And then they came to a meeting and said that's what they wanted to do. And again, we said, no, that doesn't make any sense at all. And that what you really need to do is at least see this through and then decide, do you not like it? Once it has the impact that everybody else believed it was going to have. And if you don't want to do that, then maybe what you should do is dissolve the fiduciary board and just have a board of advisors. I don't know if anybody in the room here is interested in that, in the boardroom they are talking, but if you're going to act as if it's a board of advisors and not a fiduciary board, then maybe that's what you want to switch it to. And they said, no, we don't want to do that. So then they came back with this recommendation that the son become the CEO. And I think he pressured his mother into it, kind of, she didn't know what else to do. And we didn't reach a decision at that board meeting of what we were going to do, other than, and nobody liked that idea. But there are so many questions. How could this even possibly work? With you being part-time and holding our ERP system hostage, in effect. So when they came back with a consent in lieu of a meeting and had in there that they would absolve or indemnify all of the independent directors for this decision, but they wanted our vote. And two of the outside directors signed off on it quickly and said, okay, that's what they want. We're not going to fight this. They can get rid of us. It's not going to work, and we'll have to figure out how to recover it. One signed off for it, but he actually inserted himself in to take over as head of sales and marketing and operate almost as a quasi CEO for a very nice contracting fee. So a real conflict of interest. So I resigned at that point. And 2 days later, two of the other independents resigned. The one who wanted to stay on as a consultant never got really to do much of the consulting because the company wouldn't give him any information. And he lived out the length of his term as a board member. And right now they do not have a board. and they have been almost a year now without a CEO and no plans to hire one.
John, how long do you think the company will last?
Maybe another year.
That long?
Wow. Well, they got some momentum. They don't have any chiefs anymore. It's all Indians who all like to do their own thing, and they're there because they like that autonomy as, lower level employees. But there's nobody at the senior management team level, so it can't last long.
So, John, based on your experience in working with family businesses, what should an independent board member who is offered a board opportunity at a family business be looking for? What are some of the warning signs?
I think that's two questions. What are they looking for? And then what are some of the warning signs? I've been involved with a lot of family businesses where I believed and proved correct that I could help them. I could guide them through this whole transition. This is the first time I've ever quit as a board member. Instead, I've worked through how do we get this thing. We've got them to listen and could get, the different fractions to come together. But you want to understand how deep the animosity is between the family members. You want to know how professional they've been. Has there been a board before? And did it work or didn't work? Why are people leaving if they've had a board? And then all the basic due diligence stuff you do. You want to see the financials. You want to see prior board minute notes. You certainly want to make sure they have D&O. And you want to very clearly set the expectations of what you expect. This is what a fiduciary board means. And if you don't want that, or if you can't live up to it, then you're not going to have one. People will not stay. And that gets into something made the point about, why do they really want one? And in this case, it seemed like they really wanted it at first until they realized it meant that they were giving up control.
John, was there any discussion about selling the business when you had the board meetings?
Yes, and the basic view is, well, the this we're about this for Dad's legacy and the amount of money it would take us to be willing to sell it and convert that legacy from the business and the products into cash was so big that we're never going to get that, or not right away. They wanted like 20 times what it was worth, which was just a way to say no. But it's either going to go bankrupt or be sold.
What a tragedy. It
Means they won't
Yes.
get the money that they want anyway. So why
Right.
not sell it at a reasonable price, let the company live on? And that's so irrational, but I guess that's what we're dealing with humans.
Anybody been in a situation like this other than John?
I married into a situation like that.
Oh.
Ooh, that's even tougher. That was really tough. It was my first wife. We're not, but we had a long relationship. But it was a family business. It was the largest distributor of cameras, film, and developing materials in the United States prior to the digital era. All right, and the family got along great. And then the CEO, who was the father, asked me if I would come in and help, and it all hell broke loose. I was not welcome. Okay. It was really interesting.
Good. John, thank you very much for presenting the case and presenting your thoughts. Really appreciate it.
Welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.
And again, as one of the participants tonight said, there's lots of these family business cases. This is not all as unique as you might think. Marianne and I get involved in these high drama situations all the time. So yeah, just is what it is. Look forward to seeing you all next month. I hope for those of you who live in the New England area, you're digging out from snow, and it looks like we're going to have nicer, warmer weather coming up. So good for that. Take care, everybody. We'll see you
You
next
too.
month.
Thanks.
Thanks,
Bye.
John. It
Thanks,
was a great
everybody.
case.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Great case,
Thank
John.
you.
Thank you.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
John.
Thank you, everyone on my team.
Thank you, Larry.